Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Welcome to True Crime Garage. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Nick, and with me as always, well, out of all the true crime podcasters that I admire, he's close to being one of them. He is the captain.
Thank you. It's good to be seen, and it's good to see you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for joining us every week. We love you.
Today we are drinking Cherry Spadina Monkey by the good people at the Indie Ale House in beautiful, sophisticated Toronto, garage grade, 4 out of 5 bottle caps.
Yum.
If you like sour ale, then this one's for you. Cherry Spadina Monkey is, of course, fruity, sweet, and tart. I would say that it's a medium sour level, and it has mild cherry flavor.
And we're drinking in the garage because of these little monkeys. Meg from Syracuse University.
Next, we have Mary from Arlington, Texas. She says, thanks, guys, for covering the Boys on the Tracks case.
And a big shout-out to Brett Cephas from Cecil County, Maryland.
And last but not least, we have Jamie Danielle from St. Louis, but moving soon to parts unknown. Jamie has a question for the captain. She wants to know,
The answer is no. Go ahead. What's the question?
Jamie writes, has anyone told you you sound like Pauly Shore?
Only when I'm whizzing the juice.
Nice try, Captain. Thanks to everybody for filling up the fridge for this week. If you want to buy us a round for next week's show, go to truecrimegarage.com and click on the donate button.
And if you'd like to support the show and get something back in return, check out our store page. We have a bunch of different shirts. Check those out. And we also have some beer mugs if you're into that kind of thing.
And if you need a little more garage, don't forget you can go to the iTunes store and check out our bonus show, The Bricka Family Murders.
All right, that's enough of whizzing the juice.
All right, everybody gather around, grab a chair, grab a beer. Let's talk some true crime.
The first package containing what appeared to be a human hand was opened by staff at Falls Creek Elementary School after 1 p.m. today. Another package containing what appeared to be a human foot was found by staff at St. George's School later this afternoon. I can't link it to anything right now. As we progress in the investigation, we will provide as much information as we can. We have liaised with Montreal, and we'll liaise with any other police agencies that we need to in the course of the investigation.
This is a really traumatic or difficult situation for absolutely everybody, and that, you know, we're doing our best to try and make sure that our students are not negatively impacted as best as we can. It's obviously a very tricky thing to do, but we'd want to try and really hammer home for people to have a calm perspective on this where possible, and that I think we're hoping that people understand that we're doing our best in a very difficult situation.
Hello? wanted to break a little news that I've just handed from my colleagues at the Sun News Network, in that the Vancouver police have just indicated that they're investigating finding two body parts, I repeat, two body parts, sent to two schools in Vancouver. It's just breaking now. And so, interesting you mentioned about the head earlier. We don't know what they are, but there's three pieces missing, and there may be two have shown up, Jane.
You said that to schools? These body parts were sent to schools?
That's right. They were sent to two schools, and they received them today. Vancouver police on the West Coast here in Canada have just, they're investigating it now. It's breaking just seconds ago. And it's, so, you know, the clues, I don't know what they are, Jane. We'll have to find out. But this puts it to five. And so it'll be interesting to see that your previous guest mentioned the head, because, it could be there, or maybe that is the trophy. And that's the one piece that we don't know where it is. And it does remind us a lot of Jeffrey Dahmer. There's no question about it. Particularly, you deal with this Asian victim, which there was the Jeffrey Dahmer case, and the fact there was just this brazen right in the middle of Milwaukee, here right in the middle of Montreal and also Berlin. Very crazy stuff, Jane.
It's very crazy. It's very disturbing. Well, let's listen to the news conference that ended literally moments ago. Out of Vancouver, law enforcement describing two body parts that showed up at schools.
The Vancouver police are investigating two disturbing incidents in which human remains were discovered in separate packages mailed to two local area schools this afternoon. The first package, containing what appeared to be a human hand, was opened by staff at Falls Creek Elementary School after 1 p.m. today. Another package containing what appeared to be a human foot was found by staff at St. George's School later this afternoon.
Unbelievable. Robin Walensky, anchor reporter, The Blaze. Do you think this is the tip of the iceberg from your many years covering crime?
Jane, I think there's going to be more. I think he started with the animals. He didn't get high enough, and then he moved on to humans. I listened to that news conference live with you here, and what strikes me about it is that from a CSI perspective, this is a treasure. Those two boxes that were sent to the school, Jane, they have the wrapping, they have the tape, they have possible fingerprints, the material possibly in plastic if he put the body parts in there. They will take those two boxes and compare them to the one box that was sent to the Canadian Prime Minister, to Stephen Harper's Conservative Party, and then to the fourth box that was sent to the Liberal Party. They will look at all four of those boxes and compare and contrast.
The 29-year-old suspect we're looking for is Roca Luca Magnota. You get a picture of the suspect, you get his name also. He's also known with the second name, which is Eric Clinton Newman. This is the 29-year-old suspect we're looking for, involved in this 11th homicide on the Montreal territory this year. You get a picture of the suspect, we're looking for him. A warrant has been issued. This is a coast-to-coast warrant. We're looking for the suspect, and if anyone got information for us, they will have to dial 911. This is a priority for us. We really need to get a touch of that suspect as soon as possible. We know that suspect and victim, they knew each other, so it's not a random attack. They knew each other. The victim that we found, the identity is not confirmed yet, but we know something for a fact. This is a male, a white male. This is what we get. We're waiting for confirmation of his identity. As you know, part of the body was just dismantled, so for us it's hard to establish his identity. We had all the reasons to believe this is connected, although we don't have any 100% confirmation why that is, because we do need a DNA match to confirm that 100%. But we've got all the reasons to believe this is the same body. That having been said, we're still missing a few parts of the puzzle in terms of body parts. So yes, this is a special crime scene. The crime was horrible, but suspect and victim, they knew each other. I'm not going to tell you, I'm happy to say you that, but at least it wasn't a random attack. This is horrible. No one deserved that, but at least suspect and victim, they know each other. So it wasn't a random attack. And that I can confirm you as a fact.
May 26, 2012, Roger Renville, a lawyer in Montana, he is enjoying his day off from work. He will spend part of his Saturday surfing the internet. Roger starts off by checking his email, messaging some friends, and then looking for a new funny video posted. Roger sees a bizarre internet video titled One Lunatic, One Ice Pick. He clicks on the video to view it. The video shows a man tied to a bed, and then the camera shuts off. When it continues, the man on the bed is dead. Then a man comes into frame and goes over to the lifeless body on the bed and begins stabbing the corpse repeatedly with an ice pick over and over again.
Then with a knife, the suspect is going to dismantle the victim.
The following day, Roger can't get the video out of his head. A lot of stuff on the internet is fake, but Roger couldn't help but believe that the video was real.
Mm-hmm.
It looked awfully real to him. So Roger believes that he had seen a genuine snuff film. He alerted the U.S. and the Canadian police and reported the internet video. Both countries' authorities dismissed the video as a fake. So we have this situation here, Captain. We have somebody that spotted a very gruesome video, and mm-hmm. I didn't go into a ton of detail.
That's not our thing.
Exactly. Well, the thing here is, Captain, you know, people upload these shocking videos to different websites, mm-hmm. and then what boggles my mind is that then people record themselves watching those videos and getting their reaction.
Yeah, called reaction videos.
The thing here is, I never saw this video, thankfully, never saw this video, One Lunatic and One Ice Pick.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we, you know, decided to cover this case, I know that it's been taken down from the bestgore.com website where it was originally uploaded to.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a 10 or 11 minute video. I'm sure it's probably hidden somewhere in the dark corners or dark attics and basements and crawl spaces of the internet.
You can still find it in the deep web. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. I didn't go looking for it because I didn't want to see it. The thing here is, like I said, it's 10 or 11 minutes. Not seeing it myself, trying to describe the video is tough for me to do. But the thing here is, you know, there were other things in that video that we didn't get to. There were acts of necrophilia. There was the dismemberment. There's also a portion of the video where a dog is involved in chewing on the body.
And what we were talking about earlier is that it kind of seems like this video was staged. I mean, there was mm-hmm. music playing. We have New Order. The song was True Faith. This was a release from 1987.
Yeah, I've not seen the video, but the way it's been described to me, Captain, is somebody didn't just willy-nilly set up a camera and decide mm-hmm. to record this. Like you said, it appears to be staged. It also appears to be planned out, thought out. Like you said, putting together a soundtrack for the future video.
Yeah, so at this point in the timeline, we have some people that we have an audience for this video that have seen the video, but we have no confirmation if this is actually real or if this is just a false video.
On the morning of May 29, 2012, around 10 a.m., a janitor working at an apartment building in the Snowden district of Montreal mm-hmm. makes a grisly discovery. Amongst bags of garbage and old discarded furniture, he finds a suitcase and he decides to open it up. Inside the suitcase, the janitor finds a human torso. The authorities are called. Upon arrival, the janitor tells the police that he first saw the suitcase 4 days earlier,
mm-hmm.
but there was so much trash and he had so much to do that this was the first he could get around to collecting everything. Police started searching the trash in the alleyway for remaining body parts.
Right, and this is not going to be the only body part that we find that day.
No, because just about an hour later, this is 200 kilometers away at the national headquarters for the Conservative Party of Canada, located in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
The office received their mail just like any other business day. Typically, the office would receive the usual stuff, you know, bills, letters, packages, big and small. On this day, there was one particular package that stood out from the rest. This was not a particularly large package, smaller than average size, but the box is labeled with a red heart symbol.
All right. Maybe we shouldn't open that one.
Well, according to the return address, that package was mailed from a René Bordelais. The office assistant in charge of receiving and distributing the mail started to open the box. Inside, she could see something wrapped up. But what was more alarming was that the package, it stunk. There was an extremely foul odor coming from this package. She noticed what she thought to be bloodstains on the bottom of the box. The assistant stopped what she was doing. She was too disturbed and upset to open the package any further. She took the small box to her boss. Her boss opened up the box. Inside, there were pieces of bright pink tissue paper stuffed inside the box to protect the contents from being damaged. The contents, well, there was something soft and mushy wrapped in a black garbage bag. She asked the assistant to bring her a pair of scissors, and as she cut open the bag, she noted that strong rotting smell just kind of blowing out at her there. From she now knew for certain that there was something very not right about this situation.
Right, but that's when you stop, you call the police, and you have them open it. You shouldn't open packages like that.
And you are exactly right, Captain. That's exactly what she did. They called the Ottawa police. They came quickly. And it would be their job to finish opening up this package. Inside, the officers found a severed left foot, and they found a note. And the note read, "Stephen Harper and Laureen Teske will know who this is." Oh, and I kind of forgot this was in here, Captain. So I do apologize in advance, but I'm just reading somebody else's words. The note, from what I could find, read, "Stephen Harper and Lauren Teske will know who this is. They fucked up big time." Like I said, I believe there's more to that note, but the people that are named here, who is Stephen Harper and Lauren Teske? Well, I gotta throw in my ignorance here. I didn't know who these people were. Stephen Harper at the time was the prime minister, and Lauren is his wife. So it appears to me that this might be some kind of tease or taunting, you know, when you throw in a big name like the prime minister into an awful package like this. We clearly have a victim, but the mention of Harper and Teske likely, well, but I'm saying the mention of these two people, these important people, likely has no bearing on the case or its investigation.
These crime packages being delivered won't stop there for that day.
Right. So we have the horrible package that was received at the headquarters for the Conservative Party. The police, the investigators have a full blown, you know, what one would assume will easily turn into a homicide case. They are on high alert. They are going to go to the Canada Post. That's the country's primary postal operator.
Right.
There they find a similar package. This one is addressed to the Liberal Party of Canada. And again, it is from Rene Bordelais.
Does it have a heart shape on the box?
I was looking for that. I found in one article that it said that there was a heart-shaped symbol on this second package, but most of the articles never mentioned that. So I don't know if they just
can't
got
confirm it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they just confused the two packages or if it in fact had the same thing. But the important thing here is, you'll see the same name on the return address, that Rene Bordelais. Inside, the investigators uncovered more gruesome findings. This is a severed left hand, again, along with a note. And this note said, "You need to speak to Lauren Teske and her family. Lots to hide."
All right, so that's the prime minister's wife, but we actually don't think that she's involved or he's involved in this crime at all.
Or would even know anything about possibly the victim or the perpetrator of whoever's mailing these horrible packages.
But one could assume maybe that this is some kind of political act, you know, like I murdered for the reasons of some political action.
Yeah, that somebody that wants to speak out or speak up for something. The investigators are able to trace the origin of these two packages to a post office near Montreal. Now, there, they are sifting through the surveillance footage. Police find who they believe is the man that they will be looking for. They have video of a young man. The video shows a Caucasian male, possibly in his late 20s or early 30s, dropping off several packages matching the two packages that were previously found. But now they have to put a name to this face, the face of the man mailing the body parts.
Well, now, a big mistake right away from you have identifiers on the box that you're mailing. Mm-hmm. That's a big mistake.
Well, the name Rene Bordelais is going to have no ties to the person mailing out these packages.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, back at the apartment building, remember the janitor found the torso there. After searching through the trash, police list their findings as such. The torso was found in the suitcase, but they also found bloody clothing. They found several sharp, blunt objects and papers, which they believe might identify a possible suspect.
And just like the police did at the post office, they're going to want to look at this surveillance footage of the apartment complex very closely.
On it, they see who they believe to be their suspect, a 29-year-old man by the name of Luca McNotta. The footage from the surveillance camera showed Luca bringing numerous garbage bags outside.
Mm-hmm.
Police learned that McNotta had lived in the apartment building at 5720 DeCary Boulevard in apartment 208.
And all the surveillance footage that we're talking about of the apartment scenes of him throwing away the trash and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
you can see online if you are interested in looking at that.
The apartment 208 apartment is located on the building's second floor. Around 11:30 p.m., the police go to the apartment, letting themselves in, and they find an apartment that is covered in blood. The apartment quickly becomes the central focus in the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, they find pink bedsheets soaked in blood, a purple blood-streaked shower curtain, and they find more blood in the refrigerator, on the table, and lots in the bathtub. I had read one report that said that when they picked up the mattress, because they believed, because of the amount of blood that they found over on the mattress, that mm-hmm. the killing had started there,
right.
that when they lifted up the mattress itself, there was so much blood absorbed by that mattress that it had soaked through to the bottom.
So pretty quickly, law enforcement, they have the apartment, they have the location, they are now receiving these packages with severed limbs from a victim. We don't have the identity of the victim yet, and we also have surveillance footage of what we possibly believe is the suspect. We also believe that he lived in this apartment, so now we're getting some identity here.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do they find in the apartment as evidence?
Well, for the most part, the apartment itself, it looked like it had been emptied out, like somebody was in the process of moving out of the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But they also find a cryptic message left on the wall. Somebody had wrote, "If you don't like the reflection, don't look in the mirror. I don't care." It was obvious to investigators that this Luca McNotta, who had lived at the apartment, had left the apartment and most likely left the area, them believing that he is their suspect. At the same time, police are discovering additional footage from the building surveillance system. Mm-hmm. This is of Luca with a man of about the same age, and he looks like the likely victim here. Now, we've seen this video, Captain.
Right, they're walking into the apartment building together.
And it almost looks, it looks like they're walking in and Luca has some things in his hand. I don't know if it's, takeout, carry out, something like that. But he's fumbling, trying to get the keys in the door. He's got to unlock the door. And there's really kind of a sad interaction that you see in that video, because we know the outcome of this situation.
Right.
But even viewing that video for the first time, you're seeing what appears to be the suspect and the victim. And where Luca, he looks like he's even wearing a wig to me. He holds the door open for his victim, for the guy that he's going to kill here shortly. He holds the door for him in like a sweet manner. And then the victim steps inside and stands there, turns, and waits for Luca to come into the hallway with him. If you didn't know the outcome of this situation, you would think that you were looking at two friends walking together into a building.
Yeah, or possibly romantically involved.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those things are just as hard, as far as the gruesome videos. Those are, something I don't, seek out to watch. But even these surveillance films, especially once you know that this guy is going to end up being a victim. Those are almost, to me, as hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all of this surveillance footage that the police have collected, they agree that the footage from the apartment, it looks a lot like the same guy that they have from the footage from the post office mailing the packages. So
right, now that's basically their confirmation.
We've seen both, and it looks identical. And then you found the torso at the apartment. We know what's going on here.
At one point in the surveillance video, you know, like we talked about, you know, that we have the suspect and we have the victim walking in together. Mm-hmm. The victim's actually wearing like a yellow t-shirt of some kind. And then when Luca comes back out and he's, you know, taking out the trash and stuff, right, he's wearing the victim's shirt.
Yeah, certain parts of that surveillance footage video really, really bother me and really tug mm-hmm. at the old heartstrings there. There's a lot more to get to about this case right after this quick beer break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, I highly recommend that you give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/garage today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/garage. This show is proudly sponsored by BetterHelp. Check out BetterHelp.com/garage today. Do you want to set your child up for success? Of course you do. That's why you need to check out IXL Learning today. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. It's powered by advanced algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. There's one site for all kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids could use it at home on their computer or on an app on your phone or a tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything for you. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. I love recommending IXL Learning. Kids can learn at home or on the go. And all my friends and family that are using it absolutely love it because it's so easy to set up and so easy to use. And even the kids that I've recommended it to their parents have told me, hey, Captain, thank you. I was having problems in math and my parents couldn't help me, but IXL could. Do you want to get your kids back on track or do you just want to get your kids ahead? Do so with IXL Learning. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And True Crime Garage listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/garage. Visit IXL.com/garage to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Check out IXL.com/garage today.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. Save a lot of money with Mint Mobile. Get their great mobile wireless service delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. That's premium service at a great price. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/TCG. That's mintmobile.com/TCG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TCG. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Make your day delicious, from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. I am new to Factor, and I have been loving every minute of it. I have a problem, and it's called lunch. Some days I need a pack of lunch, and some days I work from home. Whether I'm at home or whether I'm on the go, Factor is fueling my lunch from now on. Head to factormeals.com/truecrimegarage50 and use code truecrimegarage50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. That's code truecrimegarage50 at factormeals.com/truecrimegarage50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
All right, we're back. Cheers, everybody. Thanks for the delicious beer. Big shout out to Amber Hook.
Yeah, we got a message from your brother Todd on Instagram. So cheers to everybody out there. This brings us to May 30th, 2012. This is just the day after those two packages are received, and then the torso is found in the suitcase at the apartment complex. We have an international manhunt that is underway. This is after Montreal police named Luca Magnotta as their suspect and accused him of killing a man and mailing the body parts to various locations.
Well, and looking into old Puka, he travels the world. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been known to travel to different locations. So this makes it, we have our suspect, but now we have a guy that is a known traveler to even other countries. So we got to catch this individual before this happens again.
Police identify Luca Rocco Magnotta, age 29, as the suspect. He is also known by the names Eric Clinton Newman and Vladimir Romanov. There are profiles circulating online describing him as a male model and a bisexual porn actor. Now, when I say that there are profiles circulating, there are a lot of profiles circulating. And furthermore, there are many, many photos of him online.
And some of the photos aren't actually real. They're photoshopped. He kind of creates his own image. He's even known to, somebody will be in Miami and he find somebody that kind of looks like him and he photoshops his head onto them so it makes it look like he's traveling to Miami.
Yeah, and you'll see a lot of photos that look like he's posing for maybe a magazine. Mm-hmm. Or you'll see pictures of him in fancy sports cars or in front of expensive properties. And like the captain said, we don't know how many of these photos are photoshopped.
Some of them are so clear, mm-hmm, that, so clearly photoshopped that, they're pretty ridiculous. He was just a very odd guy.
Well, and the thing that you learn there is that he's almost creating a personality. He's creating a lifestyle for you to see of him. Someone that's traveling the world. He's riding around in expensive cars, going to expensive places, creating a persona online for all of us to view and admire.
Well, and on top of that, he's creating fictitious profiles. So then, therefore, those fictitious profiles could interact with the real profiles. So what he'd do, he'd post a picture of something, and then he'd go onto his fake profiles and like, you know, the picture or comment on the picture. And he would like make up ridiculous claims like, Luca's a big, huge celebrity here in Canada. He is, you know, he is God in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Well, every morning, Captain, when I wake up and I'm eating my Lucky Charm cereal, the first thing I do is I go on to the Facebook page for True Crime Garage and I like us.
You mean I wake up and after I eat my Lucky Charms, I take off my diapers and I my mommy powder my butt. Stop liking us. I can see it.
Just for that, tomorrow I'm going to like me and dislike you. On the following day, May 31st, 2012, the Montreal police, they tell the Global News that they have information suggesting McNaughton had left the country. And they're pretty sure he's in Europe somewhere. Now, media reports suggest that he may have traveled to France. But at this time, I mean, still really anywhere is a possibility, in my opinion. He could be anywhere. He could still be in Canada or maybe even Russia. You know, we see from his online profiles, his online persona, that he talks about having Russian ties.
The ties are to the Russian mafia.
Not only says that, but he also says that he is Russian, you know, or that he's of Russian and Italian descent. So really, he could be anywhere. Now, on June 1st, the Montreal police identify the victim in Montreal's grisly murder and dismemberment case as missing Concordia University student Jun Lin.
Yeah, now some people will say that his name is Jun Lin, and sometimes you'll say here Lin Jun.
Lin was a 33-year-old student from China. He was actually reported missing on May 30th. This is just one day after a janitor in Montreal found the torso of the man locked in a suitcase. Police are now saying it is possible that Jun Lin, the victim, and McNaughton had some sort of relationship. Well, the thing here is, Captain, with Mr. Lin, his family suspected something was going on before he was actually reported missing.
Mm-hmm.
His boss reported that he had not shown up for work on a particular day, and this was very unlike him. We also have his friends. They say that they hadn't seen him in days. So they reach out to his family, and this is where he's officially reported as missing.
Now, how does he come in contact with old Puka?
Well, the thing here is, at first, the police state that they believe that the two might have had some kind of relationship. And I think maybe part of that is from what they could witness from that apartment, from the apartment surveillance footage. Like I said, it was almost like two friends walking in together, or like you said, maybe somebody in a relationship together walking in together. But the situation was not that. The situation was that he had responded to some kind of ad that Luca McNaughton had placed looking for companionship.
Yeah, it's not that simple. The ad was more, wasn't it, to make a video? He was looking for somebody to join him in making a video. And I believe it was like a sexual video.
Well, either way, we have the student Lin responding to an ad. There was no long-term relationship. As far as I could find, Jun Lin had not even been in Canada for that long or in the area for that long for there to be a long-term relationship.
And at this point, law enforcement is not releasing all the information on the notes that they found with the body parts. They're also not releasing a lot of the information or like some of the writings and stuff that they found in McNaughton's apartment.
And the reason for this and why the public is calling it into question so much is because, I apologize, but there's no nice way of saying this. There are still pieces of the victim missing at this point in the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only was Luca McNaughton seen mailing several packages, but it was also communicated somewhere in those notes that six body parts had been distributed. And Luca was claiming that the perpetrator of this crime would most certainly kill again. So we have a threat with him being on the run, and we also have evidence and portions of the victim that still need to be found.
We do have a threat on certain people receiving these body parts. I mean, like we said before, some of the body parts were sent to a school, and luckily those were intercepted, and no kid opened up those packages.
It's around this time in the investigation, Captain, that the police now believe that the video published on May 25th titled One Lunatic, One Ice Pick, again, that this is a video depicting the murder of Jun Lin committed on camera by Luca Magnotta.
And there was actually a lot of reaction videos posted on this. Again, a lot of people not knowing that if it was real or it was hoax. You can actually find the footage of that, of the reaction videos. I think playing any of that material would be out of distaste.
They suspected him so much that at this point with Interpol, in the search for Luca Magnotta, they were listing what charges Luca would face if apprehended. And these charges included first-degree murder, committing an indignity to a dead body, publishing obscene material, mailing obscene, indecent, and immoral material.
Well, and not only that, but also threatening criminally the Prime Minister, Stephen Harper.
Yeah, along with several members of Parliament. Now, Interpol issued a red notice for Luca Magnotta.
What's a red notice?
I don't know, but I'm guessing that that's a pretty... I'm guessing the red notice is like the highest alert notice.
Okay.
Find this guy, pretty please find this guy with the cherry on top. This is at the request of the Canadian authorities. Magnotta is to be tracked down, apprehended, and he's going to be extradited back to Canada if they can find this guy. Mm-hmm. Now, the international police are learning quite a bit about McNada's movements after the murder. They learned that McNada had booked a round-trip flight from Montreal to France using a passport with his name on it on May 25th. This is just 4 days before they discovered the remains. Now, McNada would be a no-show, of course, for the return flight. After arriving in France, Magnotta used a different passport to check into a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
The passport name was Kirk Trammell. After the manhunt for Magnotta got underway, authorities were able to trace his cell phone. Magnotta, even though he's on the run, he's still using his phone. Many times on the show, we've talked about my theory that some serial killers are addicted to hunting or addicted to killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Magnotta, he's a different breed of monster to me. He is someone that is addicted to his phone and addicted to checking the internet, so much so that he can't stop himself from logging on.
Well, and I think some of it too was he's trying to figure out what law enforcement knew about the murders and did they have him as a suspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they trace his phone to the hotel, but unfortunately, Magnotta had left before they could track him down. So they go to this hotel looking for Luca. They get there. He's no longer there. But they are on his trail now. And on June 4th, Luca Magnotta is apprehended by Berlin police at an internet cafe.
Yeah, and what is old self-obsessed, shit-stained Puka doing? He's in the internet cafe Googling himself.
Yeah.
And I heard if you Google yourself too much, you go blind. But so he's sitting there looking up, I think, not only stuff about the case that's happening, he's searching himself on Google Images.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, he's reading news stories about himself as well, looking up pictures of himself. Now, when he's first approached by the Berlin police, he says, no, you got the wrong guy. He gives a fake name. He tries this several times. And finally, he ends up saying, he ends up admitting who he is. And later fingerprints would confirm this. And he essentially leaves as without incident. He gets apprehended and he leaves without incident. Now, on June 5th, that same year, a package containing a right foot was delivered to the St. George's School. Another package containing a right hand was delivered to False Creek Elementary School in Vancouver. Both schools opened as normal the following morning. It was confirmed that both packages were sent from Montreal. And like the captain said, these things were sent to schools, and luckily children didn't end up finding them or seeing them.
Right. And then what they're looking for now is they want to know, you know, we got Luca in custody. They're talking with him. They're trying to figure out where June Lin's head is. Mm-hmm. And that's because they want to give him a proper burial.
Yeah, his family would like to return him to China. Now, the other thing that we have to be concerned with here is that are all of these packages belonging to the same victim?
Right.
And it wasn't until June 13 that the four limbs and the torso were matched to the victim, Jun Lin, using DNA samples from his family. And it wasn't until July 1st that the head was recovered at the edge of a small lake in a Montreal park after police received an anonymous tip.
A lot of people suspect that that tip came from Luca himself, but I haven't been able to confirm that myself.
It's quite possible. You know, they do their investigations a little bit differently than we do. They, up in Canada, they handle their news a little more discreetly when it comes to these types of situations. I'm just going over my notes here, Captain, and I wanted to talk about Jun Lin real quick here, our victim.
Mm-hmm.
And I misspoke earlier. I have in my notes that he arrived in Canada in July of 2011, so he would have been there long enough for some potential long-term relationship, but that was not the case. He did not have a long-term relationship with Luca Magnotta. As we said, you know, he was from China. He was going to go to college. He was seeking a degree in computer science,
mm-hmm.
From the Concordia University. I'm not certain, but I believe that I read that, you know, this was like he was going to be one of the first. You know, he was certainly the first in his family to travel abroad and go to college. This was kind of not just his dream, but also the family dream. And, you know, one piece of footage that I saw, that really kind of affected me was, you know, when we talk about these victims, they're kind of, we only get a screenshot, you know, just a very brief glimpse into their life because right. Unfortunately, and I hate that it's this way, but unfortunately the victims end up being the smaller part of the story, which is terrible because that's the worst part of the story. That's the part that lasts forever, the hurt that lasts forever. Now, the thing with Mr. Lin here, not only was he young and outgoing, but there was a video that I saw of him. He's singing karaoke. Yeah. And you just get this vibe that this is a really good guy, an outgoing person that's full of life and full of excitement. You know, and I saw some of his other posts where they were text messages and pictures that he was sending back to his family. And a lot of it was nature oriented. And a lot of it was very positive stuff. You know, look how beautiful it is out today. Things like that. So truly a good person that came across just a monster. And we've lost him because of that.
Yeah, very tragic story.
Yeah. And on June 18th, Luca Magnotta was flown aboard a Royal Canadian Air Force plane back to Canada. They deemed that there were too many safety concerns to use commercial flight back to transport him back to Canada. Now, soon after he arrives in Canada, his trial is going to begin.
Well, and before the trial happens, they're going to be looking into old Puka Nahata. And as they're looking into this vigil, they're going to realize this guy's a sicko.
Yeah.
Right. And long before the body parts, long before the murder, long before the videotape being posted, he was doing some stuff that should have had them on the radar. If, you know, to me, he should have already been locked up and put behind bars.
Are you going to call him Puka the whole time? You got me laughing the first time.
I'll call him whatever the hell I want to call him.
It doesn't bother me one bit, Captain. No, I agree with you. There were things going on and there were red flags going up that this whole tragedy may have never happened had they picked him up for some of these other crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So once they start diving into this, we're going to ask, who is Luca Magnotta?
name is Luca. Magnotta is my last name, M-A-G-N-O-T-T-A.
Hey, Luca, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Covered good. So,
thank
right
you.
Away, you know this is an underwear conference. I'm going to ask you to, is this robe? I'm sure right away.
All right, definitely.
John, how come Whitney's voice is lower? Yours is lower.
I have a very, I have a very deep voice. A lot of people tell me that, actually.
Yeah, I have a good speaking voice.
So, how do you get your voice so deep?
How do I get my voice so deep? Practice makes perfect, right?
You've got kind of a Ryan Philippe vibe going on.
A lot of people tell me that, like, they remind me of, like, 54, that movie, you know?
Yeah, he happens to be one of my favorites, too.
Oh, really?
I think you look good. I think that your body is a little bit slim.
I used to be really overweight, to be honest. I used to be really overweight, and I lost, like, weight.
Really? How did you do that?
I just like got up every morning at like 4 o'clock and like ran constantly, and people would tell me, "Oh, stop running," and I just kept doing it basically.
What's your idea of overweight?
Oh God, I was a lot of overweight actually.
Oh, really?
So like you know.
I'm curious about your hair color. What is that natural?
No, actually, I just got it highlighted, changed things up a bit. Yeah.
All right, a little bit greeny. I know that when you go swimming a lot, I notice some blondes tend to go in the chlorinated water, a little bit of the green.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. Yeah, for sure.
A little bit healthier.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, dried out.
That happens sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think he looks good. I think he has a chance. I'm gonna give him a yes.
Thank you.
I think this competition will be a little bit built up. You know, like
I have no problem gaining weight. Like I can gain weight if I need to gain weight.
I'm actually thinking more muscle definition. I think you do have a very nice lean.
That could happen really quickly. I can gain weight really quickly.
I'm going to say potentially, I think you do have potential, but I'm going to ask you to come back next year in this conference.
Okay.
All right.
I like this tiebreaker. It looks like you're just wow. Luca, I'm surprised to see how you look, because I think you look better in person in front of me than you look in your modeling portfolio.
Okay.
I think your photos are overexposed and blown out.
All right.
You lose your bone structure, and I think you have some interesting bone structure.
I think those photos look good. I think that they look very good.
I think they look hot.
That's what attracted me. I think he looks better in the photo.
A lot of people tell me I'm really devastatingly good looking, so.
A picture like that is kind of what's fooling.
Yeah, but I think the problem is that what is good for covered eye isn't always what you're attracted to in your personal life. I know that he's very your type.
Well, everyone has their personal point of view, like who they like and who they don't like, basically.
I just don't think he's beefy enough for CoverGirl. I don't think you have the musculature yet.
I definitely can gain weight.
Yeah, I know you say you can gain weight.
But you don't think I can.
How much weight can you gain in 2 weeks?
I can gain muscle. Everybody can do it. You know, I can gain muscle. I can work out. I'm very determined. And every goal that I put my mind to, I surpass.
All right, so we learn what Luca is. I mean, Luca is determined, and whatever he puts his mind to, he accomplishes.
He also comes off as somebody that's willing to be whatever you want him to be to fit in. I mean, there he is trying out for, I believe that's his tryout for a thing called Cover Guy.
Right.
Now, he had done several of these tryouts. He's ultimately turned down for this TV show or for the cover of a magazine, whatever this Cover Guy thing is. But you hear him, you know, anything that they point out that they might be looking for that's different, he's willing to fit the mold. He's willing to adapt himself physically and mentally to whatever they need.
Which is definitely, I mean, you know, part of you feels for him, you know, part of you is, you know, saddened that there's an individual out there that is willing to just be like, hey, whatever you want me to be, I'll be.
Yeah, but he was doing this well before his tryouts, you know, and this is what we talked about with his persona online that he's creating of himself.
Well, he definitely has some, you know, self-loathing. He definitely has some kind of, you know, body dysmorphia. He has a lot of mental issues going on here.
And we also learned that not only is he constantly changing his appearance with the use of makeup or dyeing his hair,
right,
changing his clothing, you know, he's always creating, he's always changing and adapting, but we also learned that he's had some cosmetic surgeries done as well.
And we realize this because he does an interview, he's trying to become a contestant on a show. And if you win the show, you get cosmetic surgery. So let's go to this little clip of Luca Magnotta talking about his plastic surgery and his viewpoints on that.
All right, my name is Luca Magnotta and I'm 25.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a model.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the other stuff that you do?
Yeah, definitely.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah,
okay,
that's
great.
All totally fine. Super. Basically, I do a lot of adult modeling and I do adult films as well, and I'm pretty comfortable in front of the camera, so I'm doing it for a while, and it's been working out pretty good for me, so...
And you do it full-time?
I do. It's full-time, whether it's doing the films or doing magazines or internet shows, what have you. It's all very consistent, so it's been really good for me.
That's great. How long have you been doing it?
On and off for about 2 years now. You know, I travel, and then I come back to Toronto and do it. I go to Montreal and do it. Go to LA. So whatever, right?
Yeah, wherever the paychecks come from.
Definitely.
So what is the surgery you're thinking about having done, or the procedure?
Well, it's going to be at the back of my head. I've had two done already.
Can you tell me what it is you're having done?
It's a hair transplant. And basically, do you want me to just go on a bit about...
Tell me a little bit about the procedure, yeah.
Okay, so basically, the back of my head hair is going to be frozen. I'm awake through the entire procedure. And there's like no... what do you call that?
Anesthetic? And
there's no, like, you don't get put under to sleep.
Right.
So basically, they cut open the back of my head. And they take a strip of flesh off. And they cut it off and they take it to the side, and nurses work on it for a few hours by taking each individual hair out of the graft. And then they sew the back of my head up, and that takes about an hour.
So they pull the skin down?
Or yeah, they pull it down and tighten it and sew it back up. Then while the nurses are working on taking the hairs out, the doctor puts me back and he tries to decide where exactly all of them are going to be needing to be placed, so it looks very natural.
Okay.
And as you can tell here in the front of my head, the hair has grown in pretty nice because it used to be receding, so it's grown in. And so basically they take all of the individual hairs and one by one they put it, transplant it into my scalp. And
wherever they feel it needs to be.
Yeah, definitely. So it's all filled in and there's no, I guess basically at the back of my head here, it's I cover it well with my hair, but it's going not bald, but I don't have denial here. You know what I mean? I guess you can say it is kind of going bald then, but I just, every time I look in the mirror, it seems to be getting worse, so I want to like completely...
Yeah.
Eliminate it and stop it, you know, before, obviously, because I can't have my hair looking like I'm 50 years old when I'm 25, right? So I want it to look pretty good.
Yeah.
And I've had cosmetic surgeries done in the past, so I'm pretty used to them. And
what have you had done in the past?
I've had my eyes done here because I used to have dark circles underneath my eyes, and it was completely making me look like I was tired all the time. I've had my nose done. I've had two hair transplants, like I said before. And I'm planning on doing muscle implants in my pecs and my arms. So that just remains to be seen, but because that's pretty...
You think you're a bit of an addict?
Yeah, my name's Luca and I'm a cosmetic surgery addict. But yeah, I would say, to be blatantly honest, I think that I am, because... just the profession that I'm in, it makes me more aware of my looks because I'm constantly seeing other people, you know, that are extremely good looking, how they look, and I'm comparing myself. So I need to step up my game, basically, and that's why I'm having all these procedures done.
Do you feel it's more a modeling thing or more of an adult entertainment thing? Do you feel the pressure?
I'd say it has to be both, because both industries are so competitive that they both need you to look your best all the time, and there's just a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety in both industries, you know, so I have to say a bit of both, definitely.
There's pressure to look good.
There is so much pressure to look good because you're on set with these other people, and you know you see how they look, and then after you, all your little flaws start coming out, you're like, oh well, you know, this person looks that way, and they have this sort of body, this sort of face and hair, and now I compare myself to this person. So he has like fuller hair, so now I want fuller hair. He has a better nose, so I want a better nose. And this person's face doesn't have those, so why should I have it if I can just pay for it to have it taken away and corrected? Why not? I don't see any problem with it.
You look like you're a handsome guy. I can't imagine you weren't that handsome before.
You know what? A lot of people tell me that. They say, you know what? Oh, you don't need it. You don't need it. But before, I was good looking, but it was starting to fade, and I was starting to get very self-conscious with that, and I could not deal with having my looks go, you know, because before it was receding, like I was saying, and my nose was a bit different, and my, you know, now I just take very good care of myself by going to the gym all the time, working out, you know, eating properly. So I don't want to, it would kind of defeat the purpose if I was doing all of that exercise and then, you know, looking kind of ugly. Like, because when I'm in the, when I'm in the chair and they're doing, like, say, my hair or something, or they can say, oh, well, we better, it really gets me because they say to me, we better cut it a bit longer at the back because we can see that it's starting to, and I'm like, don't even tell me that. Do not even tell me that it's starting to get thin at the back because I don't want to hear, I'm in denial, like I said, about it. So I'm like, okay, I've been hearing it so much lately. And the other the actresses who I work with, they're like, yeah, it's kind of, they like point it out. I'm like, you know what, that is not nice, okay? I don't want to hear it. So, but they do tell me it, and, you know, I guess I have to hear it because, you know, just reality, so.
How important are your looks to you?
Oh my God, if that's number one. Okay, number one is looks. Number two would have to be intelligence. And I don't know what the rest are. All I care about is number one, basically. All I do is care about how I look by getting clothes, basically. Because you know what? When you're going out to parties, when you're going to events, when you're going traveling everywhere, you have to constantly wear something new all the time. You know, you can't keep, you know, it's a very strange industry, but not a lot of people can understand unless you're in it. You know, so.
Do you think?
I enjoy it though.
Yeah. Have you always been obsessed with your looks? Like, I mean.
I have. Like, seriously, people say to me all the time, even when I was a teenager, they're like, "Oh, you're completely vain. All you do is like stare in the mirror. When you walk by a mirror, all you do is like glance and then look at it. You know, when you're in a restaurant, you just like take like your spoon and just like do a little like look in it, and you know, try to like check and see if you're okay. And a lot of my friends and family have been saying, you know what? You're obsessed with it. You're just so obsessed with how you look, and so obsessed with your cosmetic surgeries that we don't understand this. You know, we just don't understand you're becoming somebody completely different.
And then going into an industry where it's all about your looks.
It is, you know. So when you go from, you know, when you're in high school or something, and your looks, you know, they're important, but not like everything. Then you just go into an industry. Like, people on their day-to-day jobs, like, who are not even in this industry, they really don't have to look their best. They have to look presentable, but they don't have to, like, look perfect. But when you're doing this and you're in front of the camera, basically, it's a whole different story, you know what I mean? People judge you so much, and it's not really nice, but, you know, it's the way things are. If you don't look good, you don't look this way, you can't get that job, yeah. You can't get to do this.
Have you ever heard of body dysmorphic disorder? Have you heard of that term?
I've heard of it briefly.
Yeah.
I know that it's people who look good and they think that they look completely hideous. So I don't have too much knowledge into the whole thing.
So you think, I mean, you don't think you look hideous. You think you look good. You just want to look even better.
I think that I used to look hideous. And after that, after when I got all of my procedures done, I'm starting to look better and better. But I still feel as though I can look even more handsome, you know, if yeah. I finish my journey into getting the surgeries done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you think it'll help you, like, in the adult entertainment industry? Do you think this is going to get you more work or make you more money?
I have to say that it would get me a lot more work if I do get the hair transplant done, because I noticed a difference when I didn't have it as opposed to now, because before it was as though I noticed that the jobs were going more and more to the other people, and after I got the procedures done, I noticed that I was the one who was getting more and more of the work. So now I'm like, okay, what happens if I get more and more work done? Then that means I'm going to get more and more work, obviously. And I think that once I get the once I get the implants and pack implants and stuff, because a lot of the guys I notice, I work out like a nut, so other guys who are getting the jobs are like getting bigger bodies. So I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to follow whatever they do, because they're getting bigger bodies and better bodies, so that's going to make me more money. I have to do that, and they're getting more jobs, so I wonder why. So I look at what they're doing, and it just makes logical sense to me that I would do it too.
Yeah. So you think that having the surgery is going to make a big change in your life?
It's going to make a drastically different change in my life, and it's just going to give me more self-esteem and like make me feel amazing about myself, because it's very important for people to have high self-esteem and to feel good about themselves. And if going under the knife can help somebody achieve that, then I think that it's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know? People just kind of, people look at it as like a magical new experience, but it's just, it's not really that different. It's not really that bad. You know, when you go under, you're, you know, even though I'm awake, you know, I can still feel them cutting open my head, but it's not like you feel all the pain, you know what I mean? But you just have to stay there for like hours and hours and feel them cutting open your head and putting it in, and you can actually feel like the blood dripping down the back of your neck, and it's kind of graphic. I don't mean to like gross everybody out here, but it's like seriously graphic. Yeah.
What do you see when you look in the mirror now? Like what?
Oh God. When I look in the mirror now, I just saw the little flaws just come out, and I'm just like, you know what, I can notice that. I can just, if I just, I want to fix that, I want to fix this. And
what other things, I mean, other than, like, are there other stuff that you're looking to fix? Other than your hair and your packs?
Okay, this can sound really weird, but I've seen this other guy on a cosmetic surgery show, and he had, on his forehead here, he had like two little bumps in his skull, and they protrude out of his forehead. Like, there's two bumps here in my head, because my bone sticks out a little bit on my forehead. Like, there's two little bumps.
Yeah.
And he had his grinded down, but he couldn't do it all the way, because if he did, his forehead would collapse. So they had to stop, but because he thought it looked like devil horns. And I notice when I look in the mirror that I have the same thing too, like one here and one here. So I want to taken off my forehead, and I'm looking there, I'm like, damn, it's getting bigger and bigger on my forehead. So I want that done, and I like,
do you see an end to the cosmetic surgery? Like, will you ever be perfect in your own eyes?
You know what, I know that there's so much things I'm gonna do, and I don't care whether or not I have to work every single day, every hour, I'll do it and get all my cosmetic surgeries done. Maybe there might not be an end, maybe there will be an end, but I just know that I'm just going to keep doing it until I'm personally satisfied. Even if anybody else says to me, you know what, Luca, you look really good, I don't believe them. I just think they're saying that.
All right, that's kind of an interesting look into the way Luca Magnata's brain works and how he views himself.
That is from an audition from a show called Plastic Makes Perfect, which took place in 2008. Now, we still got a lot to get to as far as Luca Magnata goes. We got to talk about his early life, some other crimes that he has committed, and his trial. And we'll do that on tomorrow's show, and we also have a special surprise on tomorrow's show as well.
I want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for sharing the show on social media. Check out our website, truecrimegarage.com, for anything we have special, new, limited edition. We're only ordering a small batch of these. Computer Club shirts, you asked for it, we made them. Check them out. today at truecrimegarage.com and all social media at True Crime Garage.
That's it for today. I want to see everybody back here tomorrow in the garage. Until then, be good, be kind, and don't litter.
You ever meet someone who seems kind of off? Whether it's a creepy neighbor or random phone number that keeps calling you, Truthfinder has you covered. You can search for people by name, address, phone number, email, and more. Truthfinder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you're planning to meet from online dating apps. Go to truthfinder.com/podcasts for a special offer. That's truthfinder.com/podcasts to access your special offer today.